NAXPQ, let's see on statewide one. KZKKL. Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Juliet, KE8WOJ.
How you doing, Rick? KZKKL.
Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you doing? Good to hear you out there.
Yeah, out on this chilly Friday morning.
Yes, sir, it's a cold one. I noticed about 3 this morning, it was 3 degrees. And it kind of looks like the whole winter is going to be a chilly one this year.
Yeah, that's what I figured. We're going to have a cold winter. Don't know how much snow, but I know it's definitely going to be really cold.
Yeah, I was watching some of the so-called YouTube weather experts there, and everybody's doing predictions for the winter, and, you know, they run those models, NOAA models and whatever. I kind of saw a quick one there, and it looks like we're going to get an awful lot of stuff coming down from Canada this year, so that's always pretty cold.
What, are they anticipating a lot of snow this year?
No, I think, like you said, it's going to be a lot of cold. Might not be a lot of snow, but it's going to be cold.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Nothing but fun.
Although, if you end up over on the west side there, all that lake effect stuff there, I think you're liable to see a lot of snow.
Yeah, I don't anticipate being out on the west side too much this season. I mean, probably, but we'll see how it goes. We got a guy that's out in Saginaw, so I'm kind of picking up some of his stuff.
Oh, you out near Saginaw this morning? I was going to ask you where you are in the state this morning.
No, I'm local today, Ann Arbor and Detroit, Birmingham, so Highland Park. Nothing too far out.
You might be a good one to ask there. I might have to go for like 36 treatments over to Ann Arbor, U of M there, probably like 9:30 in the morning. I'm thinking it's going to be a nightmare with the traffic.
All depends on which way you go.
Well, I know it's not the shortest route, but I'm thinking it'd be the simplest. So I'll probably just go across, down Orchard Lake here to 696 and across to 23 and right straight down 23.
There's a lot of construction on 23. So I take Orchard Lake to 696 to 275 and then 275 down to 94. I mean, you can do M14 to 23 into the university, but all depends on which U of M you're going to, North Campus or Central.
Yeah, it's kind of the hospital there. I think we did M14 before, but when I had a family member take me there, it was like 2 o'clock, in the, I can't remember. It was in the early morning anyway there, so there wasn't a lot of traffic. But I remember when I got out of there about 5 days later, on the way home, we took M14. It was a nightmare. There was just traffic everywhere.
Yeah, M14's got a lot of ramps closed, and, you know, you can't get on the 275 north from M14. And then 23 north and southbound between M59 and M14, it's all congested, too.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. I think maybe I can get the same treatments over in Rochester, so I might give that a shot instead.
Yeah, if you can get them in Rochester, I will go to Rochester, 100%.
Yeah, they asked me, how about Flint? You know, maybe it's just a hair further than Ann Arbor, but it's straight up I-75, so I figured it'd probably be less traffic, but still it's a little too far. So I started looking around myself, and I'm hoping maybe I can get into Rochester, but I may get stuck with Ann Arbor. I don't know.
Rochester would be my number one. Flint would be my number two. Going to Ann Arbor, like I said, it's just a lot of traffic, a lot of congestion, you know. But shooting up Flint, I mean, that shouldn't be too bad. Jump on 75, go right up into it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I got to go Monday through Friday. for 6 weeks, 7 weeks, I guess, kind of thing. I'm not looking forward to that. I always felt kind of lucky because I'm retired now, and I listen to all you guys stuck in traffic and go, wow, them poor suckers having to deal with that every day. Now I got to do the same thing.
Yeah, if you could do it in Rochester, definitely do it in Rochester.
Yeah, thanks, but I'll give them a call, see if I can get in there. So did you have a good holiday there, Thanksgiving, turkey and stuffing, get all stuffed and bloated? I know I did.
Well, we weren't anticipating having a big Thanksgiving. We were just going to order Chinese takeout and stuff at my mother-in-law's, but she ended up taking a little dip in her health, and she's in the hospital. Or actually, she's in rehab now. I'm going to be migrated over to a nursing home. So, plus, then my wife got a free 18-pound turkey that she won on a Facebook lottery. And so we had turkey in my house, you know, with all the trimmings, of course.
Oh, yeah, I look forward to it. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter there. Being a bachelor, most of my meals come out of the freezer onto a paper plate and into the microwave. All that homemade turkey and ham and all that stuff, I'm just bummed because my stomach ain't bigger, so I can eat more of it.
Well, the funny thing is that you want another turkey, so I got another 15-18-pound turkey sitting on my freezer, so that's going to be the Christmas turkey, unless we do ham. We got to figure that out.
I used to spend Thanksgiving up north at a buddy's place deer hunting, and we'd go over to get invited and go over to another guy's house for Thanksgiving dinner. There'd only be maybe eight of us or something at the place, but him and his wife cook. One year we had a smoked turkey, a deep-fried turkey, and a regular baked turkey. it was only eight of us. And every side dish you could imagine kind of thing there was I'm surprised they didn't have to wheel me out around on a cart or a gurney or something.
Oh, I love turkey. Like I said, I put it in the oven like 5 or 6 o'clock Thanksgiving Day and let it slow roast at 325 for about 4 hours, 5 hours. When I pulled it out, it was, it just fell off the bone.
Yeah, that's what my sister does, too. I think she ends up putting a bird in the oven around 6, 7 o'clock in the morning kind of thing, and then it slow cooks all day until whatever, about 5, 6 in the evening there. It is good stuff. I was surprised, though. I'd never had a smoked turkey, and I definitely never had a deep-fried turkey. Man, those were fantastic.
I've had deep-fried turkey. That was pretty good. Time and effort right there. And plus, that thing's got to be completely thawed before you drop it in that oil. So I'll just stick with the roast turkey.
Yeah, you're right. I think for safety reasons there, he did the deep-fried turkey outside on the back porch. Well, I didn't care where it was cooked at. It sure was darn good.
You know, since it's just me and my wife and occasionally my daughter, I mean, we don't go.
I was just cruising YouTube here, getting kind of hungry and looking for something to make kind of thing, and I ran across this lady who's got 15 recipes to do with the canned biscuits, you know, Pillsbury Grands and all that kind of stuff. And one of them's like a calzone, and I was thinking of doing like a pasty. Where you kind of flatten out the biscuit and, you know, put whatever kind of stuff you want inside of it and put another biscuit on top and then close it off. She actually folded them over like a regular pasty kind of thing. But anyway, I was just looking at that and trying to figure out what I could do with what I got.
Well, I make real easy chicken pot pie with cream of chicken soup, anything there, can of mixed vegetables, chop up some turkey, or chicken, I mean, and then I get a pie crust and I put it on top of the glass dish and bake that nice and slow and makes a good meal.
Yeah, that same lady there, that same bunch of recipes, she did the same thing, except instead of using pie dough, she used biscuit dough there. Well, she had a breakfast casserole kind of thing that was, a biscuit and gravy casserole kind of thing that was just killer, but it looked a little too involved for me.
Yeah, you just got to mess around with, stuff. Like I said, the jam pot pie was just something that we just came up with. I said, but I'm going to try flaky crust now that I thought of it, instead of a pie crust. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it looked awesome. Of course, she knows what she's doing, so everything comes out. Of course, it's all edited, too, so if she messes something up, she can do it over, but it sure does look good.
Oh, believe me, I don't know what I'm doing. I just kind of wing it, and sometimes not so good, other times, it came out pretty good. Then I made these barley soup for the first time, and that actually came out pretty good.
Yeah, I usually weigh the time and work and dishes and all that involved with what it's going to end up like. And most of the time I end up with frozen stuff out in the freezer onto a paper plate. Oh, well.
Well, we kind of do the, frozen food kind of thing, but it's the stuff that we make at home. Like last weekend we made venison mozzarella. And put in all these little to-go containers or whatever you want. About an hour and a half later, after I'm done driving somewhere, it's nice and warm and good. I still got four beds to go through.
When I could hunt there, I'd go up to a buddy's there, and we got deer, we did a lot of cannon. Cut it in small chunks and can it in mason jars and that. And man, oh man, was that stuff good. It was like a pot roast, just fall apart in your mouth kind of thing. And I was always too stingy there. I'd always end up just putting them on cheese and crackers and eating them that way instead of if you put them in with other food, the flavor gets mixed up. And I guess I was spoiled.
Yeah, my wife made a venison stew. It was just her and I. And she cubed it up and threw it in there and made it like she does the regular stew, and it came out. That came out really good. Really good.
Oh, that sounds excellent, actually. I hear about this, I guess, a lot of venison chili recipes, but it just seemed to me the chili paste and chili powder and all that so strong, you don't really, how do you get the flavor of the venison,
Oh, yeah, she's done that, too. She's made venison chili, venison spaghetti, venison stew. Their venison steaks not too long ago. They are all right, but, I don't eat a lot of steaks. Or pork chops or anything like that. I'll eat like maybe a half. Unless I'm really hungry, then I'll eat a full. But besides that, I don't eat a lot.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I don't eat much steaks or chops or anything. I'd rather have a really good burger than other stuff, or especially a pot roast. So.
Good pot roast.
Well, all those sound pretty good there. I haven't done any fresh fish in a long time. I kind of really like crappie. But it just depends on where you catch them at. The ones over here in, Walnut Lake over here, I don't know, they got a really muddy flavor to them. But the ones I catch up north, them things are good. They're just as good as walleye. I don't know about most of the walleye I use that was a Canadian walleye way up northern Ontario. Crystal clear water, boy, that stuff is good. Yeah, we were catching a lot out of Houghton Lake, which is a northern lake, but I mean every square inch of shoreline's got cottages and homes and sump pumps that are emptying into the lake there. So I didn't figure it was that awful crystal clear and great, but Jesus, the crappie from there just tastes wonderful.
That's one thing I don't think I've ever tried was crappie. Crappie. You know, that one fish.
Yeah, I didn't pay much attention to them, too, until we got going on Houghton Lake there. Of course, Houghton Lake was always known for their enormous panfish, gigantic 2-pound bluegills and all this kind of stuff. Bluegills really good, too. But anyway, we caught a few of those and cooked them. I brought them home. Even the family loved them. They're not that big of fish people, but even they loved them. But the ones I caught from down here, nobody liked them.
Yeah, see, I don't remember if I've ever had bluegill. I've had perch, and I am not a big fan of it, ocean or lake perch. Now, bass, I haven't had largemouth bass, but I've certainly had sea bass, and I love sea bass.
Yeah, bluegill's pretty good. I haven't had a lot of it. I remember an old guy down the road used to come and get me and his grandson to go out bluegill fishing with him because he knew we weren't going to keep any of the fish, and he could keep three limits instead of one. He'd have enough bluegill to feed him through the winter kind of thing. But anyway, I did catch and keep a few of them and, from a couple of small little lakes in Lapeer, the Steak Game area there. And I kind of broiled it up with a little bit of lemon and butter. Man, was it good. It's kind of a sweet taste.
There, I know perch, sir. Very little like perch.
You must be getting in a low spot or something down there. I keep losing you now all of a sudden.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I just heard you hear me. I didn't hear nothing before that. I was starting to worry. Maybe you got in an accident or something. Well, darn it, Tom, I'm kind of losing. You're kind of in and out, and I almost can't tell one or two words out of what you say anymore.
All right. I'm in Ann Arbor, so I'll probably lose you here and there. 7-3 for now, KCKJO.
Okay, Tom, thanks for your comeback. Always enjoy talking with you, bud. You take care and be careful out there. Maybe I can catch you on the way home or something. KEWOJ.
WUOKELS. Nothing heard, KELS monitoring.
K-8-W-O-J,
how are you doing today, K-8-L-X?
Hey, Dean, how you doing? I'm fat, dumb, and ugly, same as every day. How are you doing?
Hey, it doesn't matter. As long as you can sit back and have that cigar, that's all that matters. I'm doing all right. I'm ready to pick up the kid and... Trying to do some work and helping out a little bit with some stuff for the ARPSG.
Oh, cool! It's kind of neat that you got you do a lot of work for the ARPSG there. Hopefully, appreciate it. And yeah, you're getting to know me too well. I am sitting on the porch with a cigar.
Isn't that the point? You know, a big old family on the radio, more or less. You know, I've met a couple of people that their friends strictly are over the radio, and I never necessarily understood it until I became a ham.
Yes, sir. I was always I like technology and technology things, and I got kind of hooked on it. And then I kind of realized while I was studying for the test that I'm really not that social. I don't call people, you know, on the phone and talk, except for a couple of real close friends. I'm not real social. What am I doing on the radio, kind of thing, you know? And I thought, well, we'll see how it goes. But turns out it's a different situation. I guess I'm not too antisocial after all.
Yeah, I find that being antisocial and having a bunch of people around you rather than just talking on the radio is, it's an entirely kind of hard to explain. I guess one of those things you gotta do it and be there to understand. KE8LX.
Yes, sir. I've kind of lived alone, a bachelor, most of my life, so I've spent a lot of time alone, and I like it. when I get in a group of people, I don't really talk a whole lot, except for you get one or two people off in a corner, and then all of a sudden I start yanking up a storm.
Fair enough. I just pulled up to Washington or M19 and 26, and this intersection has claimed another vehicle. They really gotta put a turn lane light on this intersection. It gets really bad.
Oh no, I'm sorry to hear that. The slippery icy roads don't help either. Boy, I hope they're all right.
See, that's not it. What it is it's a very fast intersection, and you go through that intersection at 55, but the way the corner's set up, you can turn on red, but it's kind of a hard corner to see. So what people do is they'll come around that corner on a red and not see the vehicle that was coming, and they get T-boned every time. A Macomb County officer last summer when I was on the bike picking up my daughter got T-boned on that corner, and it was pretty bad. Especially because he got T-boned by an F-350 with a three-axle toy hauler behind him.
Oh, man, that's no fun at all. You know, we have the same situation trying to pull out of the sub over here. Although people are only supposed to get 40, 45 on the road here. When it starts snowing and the snowplows come in and plow the sub, they end up with a big pile of snow at the end of the road right at the intersection there. So you pull up there and you're looking to go out and you're just looking into a great big pile of snow. You don't know if it's clear or not. You have to stick your nose out there just to see, you know, kind of thing. And half the time, by the time you stick your nose out there, it's too late.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% understand. And the people that live in this general area, they know how bad this corner is. And I'm sure Wally and Dave also know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to that corner, because they live in my general vicinity. It's just a bad corner, and they've been talking about adding turn lane lights and separating it out that way, but they still haven't done it. I don't know if it's still currently in the works, but there's been a lot of people complaining about it.
You know, I spent, I don't know, 4 months in Georgia revamping a GM plant down there, putting some tooling in, and this kind of sub thing where our apartments were, the GM set us up in, had a road you had to pull out on, but you couldn't see. There was a hill there and a curve kind of thing, so you really couldn't see if it was clear or not. They had some kind of a light screen down around the hill or the curve kind of thing with up by the intersection there where we were trying to pull out. And anytime there was traffic coming, that thing would be flashing and let you know there was traffic coming. That kind of worked out pretty good. But, you know, if it goes down and you're counting on it, that could be a thing too.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a similar light here in Mount Clemens, northbound Graffit. As you're coming around the corner, people speed through there all the time, but as you're coming around the corner, there's a light that'll flash to tell you that the traffic light is turning yellow and then red, because as soon as you come around the corner, the traffic light's right there. And same thing, you know, sometimes you're cruising through there and that light doesn't turn on, and you're like, oh, no, and I just slammed on the brakes.
Oh, the joys of driving. Yeah, I've been retired a while, and I stay home most of the day. I do kind of do my driving at 6 in the morning, or you know what I mean, sometimes late at night, or shopping kind of thing. And now I got to go get a bunch of treatments, and for like 36 treatments for like 7 weeks. And it's way over in Ann Arbor. I'm trying to get it shifted over to maybe Rochester. But so I'm going to be on the same thing on the road Monday through Fridays for 6 weeks kind of thing, getting these treatments. And I am not looking forward to that.
Yeah, stay safe and stay vigilant. I couldn't imagine having to drive daily in those areas. It's bad enough that sometimes I end up driving the wife to work, and she's in Troy, and I'm here until that morning traffic, it drives me crazy. K-E-A-L-A-X, righty.
Well, Jeannie must have hit a low spot there, because I got about half of that, but I got pretty much what you were saying. And, I know what you mean. I the treatments I ain't too worried about kind of thing, but the drive back and forth, and from listening to everybody doing the drive-alongs in the morning and on the way home kind of thing, just a constant complaining about the traffic and idiots on the road. I am not looking forward to it, that's for sure.
In front of the Anchor Bay High School, and I kind of have a little bit of a dead spot here, but if I crank my power up and I point the radio out the window, I can usually get in. Is that any better?
Oh, heck yeah, loud and clear.
Sounds good. Well, I'm gonna say 7-3 and wait here in front of the school for a little bit, but I'll be out on the radio pretty much all day. I usually monitor DMR all day because I've got the radio on me. But I'll say 7-3. Good hearing from you again, and we'll catch you on the air here soon. I'll be clear on your final, KELX.
Okay, Dean, have a good one there. Good to talk with you, and be careful out there. Take it easy. T-E-A-W-O-J, and I'll be clear. I'll be wandering back in and three-pawing up my fingers. Have a good one. T-E-A-W-O-J.
K-E-A-W-U-O on statewide one.
Good afternoon, John, and AWRO here. Haven't had a chance to play yet, but I'm heading that way right now.
Oh, very good. No worries. Dean has kind of given it a once-over, and it seems like we made some good adjustments last night, so we're heading in the right direction. So no worries. I do hope it works out well for you, though, and hopefully it all pulls up just fine, and you don't have to update your FCC database. It will do that in 7 days, but if you want to try and see if it locks up your cell, be my guest. It shouldn't. It didn't for game, so there's that.
So I just pulled it up now on this one. But then as far as the full 365, I should be loading that on the laptop, right? Because I don't want to mess with messing up my version. Does that make sense?
Well, what you could do is you could sign in on Outlook with the username and password I sent you in Discord today, right in your Outlook. But you just don't want to log in using that account to all the applications. You can log in on Outlook, but like it will ask you if you want to apply that to like Excel and everything else, and you probably don't want to. But for the most part, you should be able to sign into your accounts on Outlook and check your emails and do everything that you would normally do. The only one that's going to be a little bit tricky for you is Teams, but for the most part, I think you can use your own version of Excel, and you don't need to be on I-365, so you should be able to sign in Outlook under your own account.
Yeah, I follow that, John. That makes sense. I'll play around with that, and if that's the case, that'd be great. Now, I'm not in a rush or anything, but the laptop has nothing as far as Office. So, you know, maybe it would, especially for Skywarn, because that's really what it's for. Down the line, maybe I'll do that. But unless I need another account to do that, then no, I won't do that.
And based on everything I'm seeing so far, you shouldn't need to. You should be able to, you know, do the Skywarn and all that just fine. You know, you just wouldn't be able to co-author with us, but you would be able to co-view using the website link. So that's the only, you know, potential hiccup is you won't be able to co-author inside of Excel natively. You'll have to do it, like if you want to see what we're working on, you'll have to do it on that link. But it should be noted that after a fair amount of research, what I'd like to do is embed the netlog, the Skywarn log, you know, maybe have the SAT emergency log all embedded in our building. So you would be able to go to, you know, our web domain and then click on, like, netlog tab and then choose which log you want to view. And so you wouldn't have to use that big, long, elaborate SharePoint link every time. You would just go to our website and click on the link, and we would have those Excel documents hosted from our website. So, and the idea there is, like, you know, and you, I'm not 100% sure what Dave wants as far as, like, can everybody or should everybody be able to view it, or should it just be, you know, members? Because I'll probably have, like, a sign-in area on the site where you can sign in and get to stuff that maybe, you know, the general public won't see, but we would. So that's going to be coming in the future-ish. Definitely more likely towards the end of the year or beginning of next year.
I copy that. I follow it, and I'm looking forward to playing around with it, John. That's great. So next week, I think Mike's got the net. So Mike will use this log, the updated log?
More than likely that log is going to change before next week, and I'll hopefully get it a little cleaner. I'm going to start pulling from the SEC database, and we're going to use the QRZ lookups as a last resort. Technically, we're going to try to find the members on our member list, and if they're not found on our member list, then we'll look at the SEC database, and if they're not found on the SEC database, then we'll look at QRZ. The only people that I suspect will have that happen will be Canadian check-ins, since they're not in the FCC database. So QRZ will kind of become a kind of a thing of the past. Last night, I ran into issues with internet connectivity where I was at, and it was a little bit frustrating. And it wasn't getting results as fast as I would have liked. For some reason, it wasn't getting 88 ODs name at all, but it was getting other people's, and so it was just acting kind of weird. I'm not 100% sure what was going on, but I'm going to have it start pulling from the SEC database, hopefully by next week, and then I need to make, like, an actual weekly net log and not, like, a hybrid Skywarn log. So I'm hoping to get all that changed over. Whether or not he uses it next week, I'm not really sure yet. I might just have him just use what you guys are comfortable with until I feel like the add-in is ready for, you know, the real deal. But we'll see what I can get done this week and this weekend. Because with everybody kind of joining in on the team, the 365 stuff, I think I have to finish Teams. I have to get the SharePoints ready and make some PowerPoint presentations. And so this week and this weekend,
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Let's not make any artificial deadlines that don't matter. Mike would probably prefer just to do the old sheet rather than, I agree with your hierarchy on, or priority, I should say. You know, there's priorities there, and some just aren't priority. Priorities change, like you just said, because of 365 right now. And that word hierarchy, I like that, the FCC. So the hierarchy, you got a hierarchy there, our database, and then for the time being, QRZ, right? So that's pretty cool. And, you know, we don't get that many Canadian calls. What's his name? Tim calls in every now and then. But, yeah, I like the whole thing, John. Very good. Don't overdo it now. You already got a lot of irons in the fire, so... really appreciate it. I'm going to get to play around with it this afternoon.
Yeah, I look forward to it. It's a fun project. It is. There's kind of a lot of moving parts right now, and so hopefully the transition, you know, the team transitioning into 365 will be relatively painless. So far, it seems like it's okay for you. I do want to get you a SharePoint set up, hopefully this weekend or maybe today. And then I'm hoping that you'll start putting the rosters on that. And then I'm going to start pulling from your rosters to do the lookups. So, and then I'm going to probably temporarily put the SDS98 on there, even though eventually it's going to come from the website database. But for the meantime, I want to get those working. I want to have a member list. I want to get, friendly names getting pulled up rather than, like, the full name that people put on, the FCC database, that we're getting from QRZ. I want the friendly names. And that'll be good because then we can kind of override what we see in the FCC database. And also from QRZ, Dean and I noticed he had himself, he's got his new New Haven address in there, but QRZ still had him in St. Clair, which is inaccurate. So it's kind of weird because, QRZ seems like they're adding to what the FCC database has, and maybe when a member signs up and they hit the QRZ database, QRZ does some kind of investigation to find out what county they're in based on their address, and then when the FCC database changes, QRZ doesn't notice, and so they're still showing the old county, which is not actually good. And so we can kind of vet our own members, which isn't going to be hard to do, and it'll be nice, especially for, like, William or Will, who says he's always checking in from Ray Center, Ray Township. We show him in Warren, so we can kind of fix those kind of little nuances. Maybe he's just checking in from somewhere else. I'm not 100% sure, but it'll be nice to have that ability and not rely on whatever turns.
Yeah, I can do that. I mean, don't rush on my account, but I would, when you make that available, I can push some forms, some content into there. And in fact, along those lines, I'm working on the newest form for Monday, so going to be the 501c3 roster, so with it's just basically all the new titles. And then Mike had a good idea last night, I think it was the night before, to set task book level too. So I got a column for task book level. And just for me, I had to make the font a little smaller because, more columns, you run out of right and left real estate. But that was a good idea. And then when you, I'm looking at the new output right now, it's amazing. We got, 31 active members, and there's just kind of a handful of ones and twos on it. So it's nice when you highlight it like that so that we can see it. I guess certain members of the management team can see it. And we got a little work to do, I guess.
But and it'll be helpful for you because you're isolating the data into columns, silos, whatever.
Yeah, that'll be very helpful because we will want to pull that information from a universal location. So having that data available to us both visually and programmatically will be very beneficial. And I can definitely see what you mean. You know, having a spreadsheet that shows the members and their current status, whether they're level one, level two, is very helpful because it kind of tells a story just at a glance. And it sounds like quite a few of our members might be a little bit behind. And if I'm being honest, I don't think I had a formal personal passbook sign off by anyone yet, but I do have my level one completed. I just I messed up my personal passbook, and I think I filled it out all wrong, and so I need to redo it and then bring it to Dave or Mike to have them sign off. So, and then I need to start working on my level two and level three and five and 20 and keep climbing towards the Oxcom.
Hey, John, you're doing so much for everyone else. I'm doing the deal now. When we get new recruits, I actually print out a custom passbook for them and mail it by U.S. mail. I won't mail yours, but I could start a brand new one for you if you're interested. I'm happy to do it. It won't have any of the sign-offs, but it'd be a clean copy on some good, fairly good quality paper. It's up to you. I'm happy to do it for you.
Gotcha. So I do have access to the Blink PTB, and I can print one out here. The reason why I haven't really finished it is because when I filled it out wrong, I was like kind of irritated because it was filled out wrong, and that meant I had to redo it. And it's kind of I wrote a lot in it, and I don't think I did it at all how we were supposed to. So I on a fillable form so that we could do it on the computer, and that's what I want to finish. And I've actually got the thing completely done. I've got all the fields set to fillable forms, but then I ran into an issue where I was using Adobe signing so that Mike or Dave could sign digitally, but there's there's 100 signature lines. And it's actually really cumbersome to sign that many times digitally. And so I decided that I'm not going to make them digitally sign each field, but instead, at the level one, level two level, that will be where the digital signature comes in, and all the rest will be signatures. So I need to go through and fix all that so it's not so many digital sign-offs. Because, it'll literally take them 10 minutes to do that, and that's just, no one's going to want to do that. And then the other hiccup I ran into making it a fillable form was towards the back of the PTB, there's where all the different county, and District 2 people signed off, and all their signatures and all that. I basically need to wipe that all completely clean and get rid of all the signatures, because otherwise I'm kind of altering their document, and I want to rev the document to make it a two, and then I'm going to give it to Dave, and if he wants to use it and distribute it to all the District 2 people and have them sign off on it with digital Adobe signatures, they can do that. But it's kind of getting a little bit I don't know how much everyone, I don't know if everyone even knows how to do an Adobe sign-off. So I'm a little bit kind of at a standstill with it until I decide what I want to do. But I guess I shouldn't let that get in the way. I should just print out a blank one and get it going. And then I should finish the digital version and just at least get it to Dave, and then, the ECs can decide what they want to do from there.
Yeah, I was kind of unaware you were putting that much work into it. Definitely agree. No electronic signatures on the task part, every, you know, like the 1, 2, 3 tasks. But I understand what you're saying about the leveling up. When you level up, then that could be one. But this gets into, I don't know, I don't want to disagree if the boss is actually doing something, but this gets into something where it's so easy to do manually and then just image it for records and files, and then we basically don't touch it again. Putting an awful lot of work into that, but and as far as the document, that I was always under the impression the last two pages on the one that's posted, that was an error to post the signature pages. I mean, yes, they know they signed it and they approved it, but rank and file, they don't need that for their task book. That should have just, that was just for internal purposes.
Copy that. Yeah, that's good to know, because if I don't have to include that, it would help, because basically it's gotten to the point where, you know, you can go in there, you can edit the document, and you can delete the signatures, but Adobe has a hard time recognizing the difference between the signature and the line, and so you delete, you know, some people's signatures, you know, delete just fine. Other people's signatures delete the line and text, and it doesn't work that well. So I was going to basically have to recreate that sheet in Excel, export it as a PDF, and then insert it into the task book and get rid of the old page. And that's what I was going to do. It's not hard to do. It's just there's a whole lot of other things I've been working on. But you're right, it is super easy to do it, you know, manually. And I think we like to do it at the meetings, because we like to, you know, applaud the effort. So I could see the argument against it or for it or however. The one thing I do like about it is it's a fillable form, so we could, you know, look at it, you know, on the computer and query it. You know, we could look at what forms are filled out and whether or not level 1 or level 2 is signed off, and then members can email it in, and we can store it on our PTB location, wherever we store it, and kind of not have to manually update like level 1, level 2. But that probably goes in a little bit to what Jeff was saying yesterday, is We don't need to automate everything.
Yeah, I could see down the line that'd be great, especially if we double in size, but who's to say that's going to actually occur? And we do need a depository. But I hate talking about this stuff, because that's all good. But in my humble opinion, that is not a priority. That is your time is valuable, and you've got some priorities in front of that. But that's my two cents. By saying that, I don't want to stop you from doing something you want to do, so... and I also know a thing about too many bosses. Dave might say one thing, Mike says another, I say one thing. So, yeah, we got to do that IT thing where we coordinate with you and give you the ability to triage which projects you think are important. And I think we're pretty much going to go with your recommendation on that. That is nice. Really good idea, but it's not a priority. And also, just FYI, we'll go into detail about this, but just recently, seems to be a question on who can sign off on what, when, and stuff. So that's to be determined. So it's good that you have this parked, this project here parked. I'd suggest keeping it parked for at least a few months. But we'll see what comes out. I'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I haven't revisited this. So, I mean, I started working on the PTB before I was even made, like, IT. I just was, like, kind of bothered by the form and how... And I was trying to fill it out digitally so I can mail it to Dave, and because I do keep forgetting to print it out and bring it with me, and then I'm just not real fond of the one that I made. And I like to type, too, because it's easier to read. That's another issue with the written forms, and so if it's typed, it's super readable. But yeah, I haven't touched it. I haven't touched it in months. And I don't intend to revisit it really anytime soon, for the most part. So, it's definitely on the back burner, and I have much bigger fish to fry. So yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about me, you know, wasting time on that, because I don't think I will.
Oddly enough, on this topic, and then we'll move on, but the one transfer we had from Oakland, they apparently didn't do a paper D2 test, but even though, you know, they signed off on it, they had some type of other record-keeping system. Now I hear that they actually are just going old school back to this for now. So because if that member had his, in theory, if he had, digital or be it paper, if he had one that was transferable, my understanding is that's the reason D2 is, you know, they accept it, because it would just accept it on face value because it's the same task book. But right now we're going to have to recreate his task book because they didn't use paper, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. That's interesting. Yeah, I do like that we've, you know, all the ECs have signed off on the, you know, the personal task book, and I do think that it's nice that everybody can kind of transfer and, you know, be dual citizens pretty effortlessly in D2, or maybe more than dual. I don't know if we have any, if there's any, like, actually I think Mike might be Macomb, Wayne, and maybe he's part of St. Clair. I'm not sure if we have any, tri-citizens or whatever you would call that. But yeah, cool. I don't plan to get too far into it. I don't think I have that much left to do, but, I could spend a bit more time on it by naming every field so it's a little bit easier to query. But there's a lot of fields on that book, and having everything named would be helpful. But it's something that I'm going to probably do in, like, 2027.
I like the 2027 due date, not before. Not by, but not before. Just joking, though. You do whatever you want. But and also the level 3, come on, give me a break. I'd be very impressed if anyone ever completed level 3. So on some of the task books I issue, most of the task books I issue, I don't even include a level 3. They can add it on later. You know, that's not a problem. I just save the paper because if you look at the detail of that, then now you're talking some serious training.
Yeah, I kind of wonder at what point, like, if we were to do the level 3 or, you know, even level 2, how close are you? And like, I know for, like, level, for OSCOM, you need, you know, ICS 200, you know, ICS 800, 700, and so on. But at what point are you right there with OSCOM, you know? I don't know much about OSCOM, so I am probably sounding very ignorant, but I am curious at what point, you know, you're close enough at OSCOM to where, like, if you took this and then you showed them, you know, your ICS forms and your certification and all that, at what point would it be easy for you to get signed off with minimal effort? Because I feel like these things are kind of run very similarly and maybe even kind of in tandem. And I would assume that, you know, when I take an ICS 200 for the PTB, I don't need to take the ICS 200 again to get OSCOM, just as a for instance. So once I have the ICS 200 in my tool belt, I assume it carries over to OSCOM. But I don't know. I don't know what I don't know about OSCOM. So over to you. This is KE8WUO with N8WRO.
So if you ID for me, do I have to ID? I don't know. N8WRO, just in case. Yeah, I think it's pretty close, John, because I remember Dave saying something about at one point they were going to try to see. I think it would have been for the level 2s if they could get OSCOM accreditation. So something fell through, and I forgot why that was. I do believe you might have to be a general. If that might be it. I don't know. But, all right, well, anyways, with that, I guess we probably got other things to do, too. So appreciate all your help. Looking forward to checking out 365 and all the improvements there. N-A-W-R-O, after you, sir.
All right, well, you have a good one. Don't work too hard. And thanks for all that you do. And thanks for the quick little QSO. It's always nice to spend a minute to talk to real people. I sit in this office working on blueprints and whatnot, and it's kind of mindless sometimes. So it's nice to hear a voice. All right. Well, you have a good one, sir. 73's KE8WUO.
N-A-W-R-O-K-E-L-A-S.
Yes, sir.
Just out of curiosity, if you're in the log, is there any way you could type in two call signs, and when you get to the backup call sign, could you tell me if the pop-up box to confirm your backup pops up on top of Excel or behind it?
I believe I could. Stand by for a second, though. I got to get there. I'll let you know in a minute. N-A-W-R-O.
K-E-L-A-X, standing by.
Dean, log are you in? The version 1, version 2?
Whichever one you're using today.
I've got version 1 now, standing by.
He's not in the version 2. He's in the other log, the one with the orange banner at the top that says Skywarn. I'll get these things a little bit more clear, because it says weekly net log, but neither one of them are weekly net log. So, but yeah, Tim, I believe you'd be in the document with the blue banner, and Dean's in the one with the orange. So, Dean, I'm not sure who. I'll leave it up to you guys to decide who's switching, because it might be easier for one than the other.
Is there another one for me to switch out of?
Yes, remember we added the SharePoints to your file browser so that, like, when you open up a file browser, you see the Macomb ARPSC SharePoint, and then underneath that is a net control. And then in that net control folder, if you click on Documents, there's two Excel files, one that says V2 at the end and the one that you're currently in. If you open the V2, then you'll be in the same one that Tim's in. And then if Tim opens the one that doesn't say V2, he'll be in the same one that you're in. But I'm in both of them, so I'll see either one of you.
No, I'm in V2. I didn't know that you made a second one, so if my test is inconclusive due to me doing the Skywarn version, I can do the test on this version, or if the backbone of it's all the same, I'm not sure.
Not exactly sure what, but it seems to be working.
Okay, so for it didn't even ask me. Also, net control and net control backup did not autofill itself.
Yeah, the version 1 log is the one that gives you the option. This one's not quite ready, but it's not going to ask you on this one.
Copy that. So I was testing the correct one. Okay. Well, I shouldn't say the correct one, but yes, I understand.
And I know what you wanted to see if he was having. Let's see whose call sign you put in there. It's funny. I don't know why. But so I know what you're trying to test is if the pop-up message is showing up on top of Excel or underneath it. And when it goes underneath it, it creates a lot of problems because you don't know that it's there. And then it's like, why is Excel not, active? That is something I'll look at tonight to try to make sure that pop-up stays a modal pop-up. And then it has the attention of Excel so that it puts it on top, because it seems like there's there's times where it can kind of be an inactive thing where something must be happening on the sheet that is stealing the attention away from Excel and putting the pop-up behind Excel, and then you don't even know it's there. So I'll try to fix that tonight, so I wouldn't worry about it too bad. Tim, if you can get on the version or the other weekly netlog with the orange background, then you might have a better test over there. But for the most part, I wouldn't worry about it too much tonight.
Yeah, copy that. I guess it's something else, guys. But I enjoy playing with this. It's good. So I will play around with it and be able to toggle back and forth and stuff like that. And I want to check my email out too. So, all right, guys, 73s for now in AWRO.
Copy that, 73. Yeah, John, I was just curious because the second time I tested it, it popped up top. So I was curious as to why it was flipping back and forth, and I was wondering if maybe it's something to do with my machine. Either way, it doesn't matter. KEX.
WDAKFADIC. WDAKLFKFADIC. WDAKLFKFADIC. WDAKLFADIC. KLLKFADIC.
KPDRC. Hey, Jack. I haven't heard Greg out here for a while. KKKKL.
KLLKFADIC. KEADIC. KEAZRIDIC. Hey, Jack, the KLL that you're calling, he's on KC8LTS. KC8LTS. He's on the analog right now.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Jack, 73s. This is KE8ZRI out.
ADRC. Clear.
KE8KGO, statewide one.
KE8LAX, statewide one.
Hey, Dean, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I heard Jack was jumping over here, but he said it was quiet. But I think a lot of people monitor, just not a lot of people talk all the time. So I was just popping over here to let them know that we all heard him.
Yeah, I can hear Jack just fine, but I couldn't hear Greg, so they're going to try it again. KPDRC, Jackie Delosser, Greg, baby. What is he?
KPDRC, go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Tom, you're barely getting there. I don't know if you're at the end of your rope, but that was a total loss, KE8LAX.
I'm on the Detroit Tower. I'm right here at 7 and I-75. How do you hear me now?
You're in there good now. You must have hit just one of those small dead spots. You're good now, KE8LAX.
Yeah, I heard Jack. I mean, he was loud as day out there. And I haven't heard Greg yet. I know he's out there.
Heard you out there on both the radios.
Oh, that's even worse. What'd you do?
I had that thin wire radio on, but it's working. I don't know. I can't hear Greg out there.
Are you on an open spot or are you on a tower for DMR?
I believe I'm on the tower, MI5, SW1.
Okay, so you're not going to an open spot? Because like I said, your audio is, you're over-modded a little bit there. I mean, you're blasting my speaker. I had to turn you down. Which DMRHT are you using, Jack? Are you using a DM1701 or are you on your 9600?
600.
Yeah, see if you can adjust your mic gain, your digital mic gain, and see what the level is and bring it down like two notches and try again.
What radio is Greg trying to use to get onto the system? EGOD.
On the medium watt.
I'm not sure which one he's using, unless he's got a 9600 like a couple of guys do.
I heard you talking to him on FBI, and he said something about a 991A, but that doesn't do DMR. So if he's trying to use that radio to get on this, it's not going to work.
What is that, an Anytone or something like that? Never heard of that one.
So Yeezy Shack, full Shack in the Box 100 watt radio does like AHF, VHF, UHF.
And that's probably why we can't hear them. How you doing, John?
All right. Just glad that it's the weekend here. Felt like a long week. Ordered some pizza, pre-ordered pizza already from Green Lantern. Got to go pick up that when we pick up the kids from school. So should be a calm evening.
Yeah, I think the wife and I are going to have Chinese tonight. Oh, that's what she said she wanted. She said, do you want to pick it up? I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to be home. And she's at the nursing home with her mother right now. So I'm stuck on 75 trying to get on the 696. So I still got a, 45-minute-hour drive.
Yeah, it's a lot of driving, but I don't like doing that much driving, and it seems like it's getting worse. Every time I go up north, it's like a 3.5-hour drive, and I'm like, can this be 2 hours closer? After 2 hours, it's getting antsy.
Luckily, I have Sirius radio, so it keeps me occupied. But if I got to go up that far, I'm usually going with a coworker, and then we're on GMRS. You know, most of the way up there. Or FRS, that's what we usually do is FRS.
What's your service range that you guys work on?
Are you talking about for the company?
Well, like, how far do you, like, is it all of Michigan, or you go down to Indiana, Ohio, you go up to UP, or is there stuff up there?
There is stuff up there, but we've got one guy that'll go up there and take care of it. You know, besides that, you met Brad, so Brad and I are, we're based out of Detroit, Auburn Hills. That's our district, Oklahoma, Colm, Wayne, and Washtenaw counties. But since we got sparse work sometimes, and the guys outside the district, there aren't as many techs. And we got one that's off on medical right now, another guy medically retired. But we go where they ask us to go and go help them out and just bang out some runs and do whatever they need us to do.
Yeah, it's wild. It's a lot of driving. I don't think I could do it.
Well, I've had this truck tied for about almost 2 months, maybe, and I got 10,000 on it already. And that's on this new truck, the full size. My other one, when I gave it up in early October, I had 62,000 miles on it. And I picked that one up probably March of this year. Something like that, maybe.
That's wild. And it came with, like, it was down to zero or whatever when you got it, or close to, like, under 100 miles?
Yeah, it had 100 miles on it when I got it. So now it's got 10,107. And, darn it, I already reset the trip down there. So about 10,000 miles I've driven it so far since October.
So you're doing 5,000 miles a month.
That's about right. I usually get a new truck. Every truck I've had since I've been in service since 98, I've put no less than 180,000 miles on them.
I think for my truck, I put on like maybe 6,000 miles a year. And that's like most of those miles, if I didn't go up north or something, I'd probably be down under 5.
Yeah, when it's quiet out, you know, I'll go wherever they send me. I mean, there was one day I went to Sturgis, and after Sturgis, I say, hey, I got this on one of Muskegon. How far is that from me? I'm like, about 2.5 hours. You want me to go do it? Like, can you? I'm like, sure. I drove up to Muskegon, got done there, took some pictures of USS Silverside, and then I drove home. I think I got paid 12 hours that day.
That's wild. So much driving. It's insane. I wonder where all those guys went. I thought there was going to be more testing here, Jack. Where'd Jack go?
We're still here, John.
You sound better to me now. Did you put your mic gain down? You sound like not as rough as what Tom was saying earlier.
Oh, I'm on the 9600. And I'm a little bit away from the mic.
Yeah, you sound a lot better, Jack. And I heard Brian out there, too, KEA, ZRI, and I think Dane hanging around there somewhere too, K8LAX.
I just saw Greg pop on the screen, so at least that happened. I didn't hear anything, though.
Maybe you've got the wrong color code in or the wrong time slot.
He's on. I heard him that time. He was on the wrong channel. He's on event one because I'm in like promiscuous mode.
Well, I heard something chatter up there. I didn't see it came across the screen though.
I'm gonna take off. I gotta get ready to start. Get ready to go get the kids here. Go pick up our pizza. So, 23, you guys. 88 OD.
73, John. JZKJO. I'll be here. See if we can get Greg on here. You sound a little bit better, Greg. Did you turn your mic gain down?
My mic is about... Why? I'm on the medium, really.
No, not the power output. I'm talking about the mic gain itself. Do you have AGT turned on? I said, because when you talk, you kind of park there a little bit on the radio. You know, you're coming in a little hot.
I have no other radio on except this one.
If you go into the settings of the 9600, there should be an option there where it says mic gain, M-I-Z gain. And then you... turn it from, if it's on zero, turn it down to like -5, and that'll drop some of that audio on there so you're not over-modulating. KKKGO.
You know what, Tom? I have not seen, I've been on the 96, I've seen mic gain. I went on the utility, which is utility that gives you everything, but never see that one.
That's odd, because I got it on mine. Are you running the stock firmware, or are you running OpenGD77 on it?
Radio, TYT9600.
What software do you use to program it? Do you use OpenGD77, or do you use the TYT programming software?
I use the 77 Open.
Okay, so you use the OpenGD77. All right, that's what I was asking.
Hey, Greg said, I don't hear you at all. I don't know if that Yezu, I don't know if they are digital.
It might be digital for System Fusion, but I don't think it's digital for DMR.
Gotta find out. I can text them and ask them.
K8ZRI. K8ZRI. KCKGO. Brian, you still out there listening?
Yes, sir, I'm listening.
Yeah, even your audio is a little warm there. Are you working or are you done? You at home?
Yeah, I'm at home. Maybe I was screaming in the microphone a little bit too close. How's this sound?
Well, that's better. A little bit more level. I got mine turned on too, though, so I got to get the mic a little bit closer. But if I turn it up too much, then I park. And I hate parking.
Yeah, I would turn yours up just a little bit and John, that, or whoever that was you were talking to before, needs to turn his down a little bit, as well as Jack, because Jack is over-modulating, and that other guy was too.
Yeah, that's something about digital, man. I mean, just one tick on the gain, you can blast somebody's ears off. Well, I know mine's a little low. I'm just talking a little bit lower today, too. So if I go high, then I can... Then I don't, you know, I bark a little bit still, I think. Not sure. How about now? Does this sound better?
Yeah, that sounds better. I could adjust my volume a little bit, but that sounds really sound real clear now.
I know, long physical and mental day today.
Yeah, I know how those go. Hey, I wanted to call you and tell you about something. I found something very interesting on the internet. It's called RATS, R-A-T-S. It's called RATS. I should probably send you the link to it. They had some very interesting road plugs on there, and you know, you could take a look at it and see how they did everything. It was really interesting, and there were some very interesting other links to that website that had very interesting information on what everything meant. Like before, I never knew what local meant, and now I understand it.
Yeah, send it to the email on QRZ, and I'll take a look at it.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. And I got to check my own, see if my own email is on QRZ. I don't think it is. Yeah, if it is, I'll update it. But yeah, I'll send that to you. It was very interesting. When I get a chance later, I'm pretty busy right now. But later on, when I get a chance, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, no, Raj, like I said, it pings my phone when you send something to my Gmail. Because my AT&T one is like, all I get is junk on there now, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. So at Gmail, it's not as bad.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of AT&T also. I'm thinking about changing over to the, I have a Gmail account, but I just don't use it. I got to get into the habit of using it.
Well, I have a Gmail, an AT&T, a Hotmail, which is Outlook. I know I got a couple others hanging around somewhere. But the Gmail, at least I don't got as much junk coming across it. It's kind of settled down, and plus scans for all the BS emails that come through. So I'm using that one more often. I should just make one strictly for my radio, so I have one strictly for Discord and for APRS and stuff like that, or ARPC. That's the one I want.
Yeah, sometimes you can make sub-accounts on your emails. Like, I think AT&T lets you do that. I think they let you make up to 10 of them.
Oh, yeah, I got a couple on there. I just got to go through them and remember the passwords of anything.
On another note, remember when you and I and that other guy were talking about the, you said he had a Baofeng VM32? I think that was something EAT. I think his name was Charlie. Do you remember that?
Yeah, WAEAT, Whiskey Eats a Lot of Pizza. And that's Eric.
Eric, yeah, he said he got the VM32, and he got me so interested, I actually went and bought one. I got it on the Black Monday or Black Friday, whatever they call it, deal. It was only $55. And it comes with all kinds of accessories and everything. It's in a box here. I got to open it up still. As soon as I get done with this, I'm going to jump into it.
I got the BM-1701 from Baofeng, and I paid like 50 and change for it. And that's a really nice, it's kind of heavy too, so it's a pretty well-made radio. Plus, it's open GD-77 compatible, which is what I did. I put open GD-77 on it. That was a little bit of help of 88OD, and that thing's a rock star. I like that radio.
I'm talking to you on it right now. I love this radio. Yeah, I don't know. I just got suckered into that DM32 because it was, you know, such a good deal, and it was a Black Friday special, so it's got a couple of things that the DM1701 doesn't have, but I love that. I love this radio. I've dropped this thing on the floor, kicked it all around, and it just gets up and keeps on ticking.
Yeah, I dropped my 1701 over the weekend when I was out shopping. And it does pretty good. It's got good coverage. And then they had a deal on these Baofeng UV5RXs at Micro Center for like $9.70. And it's an actual tri-bander. It's, 144, 440, and 220. So it's a lot better than my little UV5R. So it actually does 220. And I programmed it in there. Just there aren't many towers around that are active. But for $10, I bought 3 of them.
Oh, so you were one of those guys that bought it. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I like the little UV5Rs. My neighbor's got a whole bunch of them over there. That's awesome. I went and bought the K6 because it had tri-band on it, and I kind of used that to replace my, what is this called, the GT5, I think it is. It's like the UV5R, but it's the GT5R. It's supposed to be cleaner when it transmits on the ham bands. That's my first radio that I bought, and then I got this K6 because it has a tri-band, and there's nothing to listen to on there in a tri-band.
Well, I got three of those 5RXs, and I got a UV5R, I got a UV5R Plus. I have two Olinko DJ5Ts or something like that. Those ones are front panel programmable only. I bought new batteries for those, and those things are really nice. They're dual watch. Then for my mobiles, I got my Olinko DR735T, which is 50 VHF, 50 UHF with a nice big display because I'm blind as a bat. And of course, my DMR mobile, which is an XPR4550. And then I'm playing around with a tape VHF P25. And that one's pretty fun too.
Well, I see you have the same disease we all have, buying radios. They just keep multiplying like rabbits.
Well, then I got a box of Vertex Standard 231s and 261 VHF HTs. Those ones are programmable, but it's only a dial, 16-channel dial. And then I got about another 20 Motorola PPR40 UHF. HDs that I picked up, and those ones can only do FRS, GMRS. So that's what I'm going to program those for. So I have GMRS frequencies on it.
Wow, that's a lot of radios. Hey, that VM32, from what I understand watching the YouTubes, is that it can do GMRS. I don't think it's legal to transmit GMRS, but it's capable of doing it, and it's capable of doing tri-band also. And I heard of one guy, I don't know how true it is, but he said he was getting CB on it, which doesn't make sense because that's HF, I don't think it would go down that low, but that VM32 looks like an awesome radio.
Yeah, technically you're not supposed to use amp bands or the radios for GMRS, but everybody does it. That's why everybody likes the vowel banks, is because they do UHF, VHF, ham, and they do GMRS. So that's why.
Yep, I noticed a lot of guys in the hold on a second. I noticed a lot of guys in the ARPS have GMRS licenses. So, I don't know, is that a requirement?
No, it's not a requirement at all. It's just, that you can use the GMRS frequencies with repeaters. You can use the FRS, like the talk about radios, but without a GMRS license, you're not supposed to be on the repeater frequencies or put the repeater tones in there. So, you get a GMRS license, which is another $35 for a 10-year ticket, and then you can do GMRS also along with ham bands. I have one, and my wife has one.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was going to say, with all those radios, give a couple of them to your wife. Yeah, I monitor the GMRS repeaters on the. Let's see, what radio am I listening to? I listen to them on the K6, and I listen to them on the DM1701, but I can't transmit, so I just listen.
Well, if you turn off the band lock, then you can transmit on the 1701. There's a frequency or band lock on there. I turn mine off, and that's the one that I carry around now for UHF, VHF, and DMR. There's not much going on at GMRS except for everybody, blah, blah, my big toe hurts, blah, blah, blah kind of thing. So I'm not on GMRS all that often.
Yeah, but I think it's more interesting just to listen to it. Hey, Tom, I got to get back to work here. I got a bunch of bills to pay. So I'll be sitting by here monitoring. I can go back to work here on the computer. So I'll say 73s. Thanks for giving me the call. And this is KE8ZRI. We'll be clear after your final.
Sounds good. Happy Bill Payne. I'll be out and about. 73KCKGO.
WAKLL, this is KEAZRI. You sound like you're overmodulated, I think. It sounds very loud.
Okay, I'm getting trying to hear my mic anymore here.
I did not copy that. It sounded very distorted and garbled.
Okay, I'm not sure if it's copying me now or not, because I'm low power.
That sounds a little bit more intelligible, but it's still very distorted. Also, Jack was trying to locate you earlier, and I guess you weren't coming back to him or something.
Okay, I appreciate it, and I'll work on that here. Well, it sounds like it's easy to get into the system now.
WZHKLL, this is KE8LAX. Two things. It kind of sounds like you're in a like an empty room. I can kind of hear some in the background, but it's definitely something with your mic. Your signal's good, but it almost sounds like you're eating the microphone, but obviously I don't think you're doing that. It's very, very garbled. It's definitely something to do with the mic. KE8LAX.
Okay, yeah, I heard that sounds like I'm garbled, so I'll try to work on my mic game here and see if I can get it turned down and if that helps.
Copy the mic game adjustment. KEAX clear.
KEZRI clear.
KDHKLL, KFHDIC.
KEHKLL.
There's your mic or somebody.
WDKLL testing one more time.
That was considerably better, Greg. Maybe a smidge more, but that was considerably better. KEHKLL. And Jack, you're struggling to get into the repeater. You're tripping the repeater, but your signal's not getting through. Okay, here, I'll expert.
Okay, Dean, KE8LAX, appreciate that. I hope this is a little bit better. I did turn my mic gain down to low, and I'm on a Yaesu FT510 with a OpenSpot 4 Pro, and I'm cross-moding from T4 FM through Brandmeister to the MI5 network. So that's the way I'm getting in. And I can get in on my 991A as well, cross modding.
You're definitely hot, but I can definitely hear you. That is way better. If it could go down more, that would be great, but if you're at your lowest setting, you are 100% readable now. KEAX.
Roger that. KE8, is that right?
Much better, Greg. Much better. KE8KGO. Now we got to get Jack to do the same.
KE8LAX. KE8ZRI. I wonder if Jack doesn't have, what's the name of it? Wait, stand by.
Automatic gain control. He's got a TYT MD9600 with OpenGD77, so he should be able to go into the settings and change the mic gain from where it's at, drop it down a couple notches, and it should be golden.
Yeah, there was that, and then there was that other thing. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's where your ID is sent through digitally, and we're not supposed to use that on MI5 networks because it causes problems with the repeaters. And I guess they get tripped up when this data comes through that, you know, just has the information like your name and your DMR ID. Oh, what the heck? I forgot what that's called.
Talker alias. The talker alias has to be off.
Right. Thanks, Dean. Yep, talker alias. I wonder if that talker alias is because it messes up with the MI5 repeaters.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't use. It's always turned off. I don't mess with that. But just send my ID through, and that's about it.
Yeah, Jack, do you know if you have talker alias enabled? This is KEA-ZRI.
KFA-DRC. How is this one? I'm on the 390 QIC handheld, 10 watts.
Sounds real good to me.
You sound better on that one, Jack, than you do your 9600. So definitely your 9600 has a higher gain on it, and it's blasting us on the speaker. So you have to, like I said, check your settings and make sure you're turn off your automatic gain control and drop your mic gain from a positive number down to a negative number, maybe to a negative 5, and you should be okay from there.
All right, Tom, no problem. But on this 390, it's better. I think that's what it is. I think it's better with a 390 instead of the 9600.
Well, like I said, the 9600 is a good radio, but you have the ability to turn the mic gain down, and I think it might be a default, whoever programmed your radio for you, and then you just got to drop it. You know, you might be able to do it on the on the channel side, or do it actually in the radio itself. There's a mic gain that you can drop it down. Because I have a 9600 and I had to drop mine down. I also have a very high audio voice. You know, my voice is to broadcast over crowds. So that's old school training.
Okay, no problem. I'll tell them to drop the mic gain a little bit down and that's about it. Because he's going to pick it up anyhow. He's got to be picked up. So if we can have maybe a Saturday or something like that, I don't know when, but they will. I will tell them that. Thank you, guys. Thank you for everything. KFA-GRC.
That's what we're here for. We all work together and learn from each other. So the ham radio, you know, is help each other out. If I sound like I'm barking, say, hey, you're barking, and I'll back off my mic. If I'm too quiet, I'll bring it up, my mic up. So always room for improvement. You always got to adjust things. It's like FM radio, tuning that antenna to get that signal just right.
Yeah, I think I'll use my 390, and then I'll wait for him to pick it up, because then it needs to be worked a little bit more. Whatever I have, we don't have on that 96. I'll tell him. Thank you again, KFA-GRC. I'm clear.
Not a problem, Jack. Have a great night. 73TAKKKJO.
WD8KLL,
KFA-DRC.
Hey, Jack, WD8KLL, how am I sounding?
Not that clear. You know, maybe back up a little bit from the mic and see how you're sounding.
Okay, yeah, I talk 6 or 8 inches away here, see if that helps. Let me know. All right, there you go. WD8KLL. Yeah, I'm not a real big fan of digital, honestly. It's too finicky.
KLL, you're sounding a whole lot better than you were earlier today. Yeah, there's a little bit of finicky behind it, but you're sounding way better. You could definitely hold a QSL with the way you're sounding. KE8LAX.
All right, KE8 So, yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to give it a fair shake.
Well, whatever you've done, stick with it, run with it, and see if you enjoy it, because right now you're good. You'll be able to talk to everyone out here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Jack, why don't you come back? Maybe he can give you some input on your signal.
KF8-DIC. How about now? Now any better?
Yeah, Jack, you actually sound a lot better than what you were earlier. One thing about DMR is it's very easy to have your mic gain up too high, and you'll notice when you talk to some people that some people will come in real quiet and some people will, like, darn near blow your speakers out, and you're always playing with the volume knob. And so we try to get everyone at somewhat of a good level. Like Tom, he's got to put his back on the computer, K8KJO, and bump his gain up just a little bit. But you sounded a lot better, too. It sounds like you either moved away from the radio or you bumped down your gain. But you sound a lot better as well. I think you guys got it pretty well down and good. K8OAX.
Yeah, because I'm on a different radio now. I'm not in my 9600. I'm on a 390. DYT 390. It's a handheld. And it's only 10 watts.
Copy that. I'm using a BTEC 6X2, which is basically the Anytone 878. But the TYTs and the Baofeng 1701s, and I believe the 1702, or maybe it's the 3390, whichever, they're all pretty good radios. That Baofeng 30, DM32 is also a really good HT, but I'm strictly on DMR through HT. But you do sound good now, switching that radio.
Yeah, I know, because this is just a little bit different radio, I believe. You know, I think I think in this radio, 73, not 77 open, no, but I think 73 when I got this radio.
Sorry about that. I ended up getting a phone call. But yeah, you guys are both doing really well, and I would keep it where it is and try to enjoy the mode. Maybe you find that you like it. Maybe you don't, but at least you gave it a fair shake. K-E-A-L-A-X. I'll be clear on both of your finals.
K-F-A-D-I-C. Go ahead, Greg.
You still there, Jack?
Yes, I'm still here, Greg. You sounded all right. Anyhow, is that the Yaesu handheld you have?
No, right now I'm on the 510, FT510.
I see. And is that says digital on it or DMR?
Both my Yaesus have the Yaesu System Fusion. And I bought an OpenSpot 4 Pro. And what I do is I cross mode from Yaesu System Fusion through Brandmeister to the MI5 network, if that makes sense. So it's basically cross moding.
Oh, I see. That's why. You got to go through all these channels to get to the digital. Yeah, I see what you're saying. No, I'm straight. It's a DMR radio. This is a 390. It's a DMR radio. And I go through a repeater.
Yep. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I don't have a DMR radio. So for now, this is the way I'm going to be able to transmit on the digital side for now.
You know, Greg, the one I sent you a picture, I just got one, that one. That one is so beautiful. Radio, it's a digital radio and analog, and really it's a hell of a radio. And for $55, you cannot go wrong on the digital radio. Because they're going to go up. I don't know if they're still on sale or not. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you, that radio, it's a beautiful. One thing I like about it, it's got different colors. You can put different colors in it. And that's what I like. I don't have no radio for the different colors, like a yellow, red, blue, black, and all that. You do your frequency and the names on this radio.
Yeah, it's definitely a good little radio for sure. I looked at it. I think at this point I'm just going to try this out, and if we decide to talk more on this side or whatever, and I like this just as well. Honestly, I've had nothing but trouble understanding people, and, you know, it's finicky, like I said. I just think the other side is more reliable.
Anything the first time, you're going to have a trouble like that. You know, same thing with me. Anything first time I'm going to have a trouble, then I'll find out after that how this works and how that works. And that's what I did before.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard Yaesu System Fusion, but I think it sounds better than DMR, way better, which I have on both my radios, my handheld and my mobile, and my base. All three have, you know, the Yaesu System Fusion. I can ping the South Field repeater, no problem, from where I'm at, and talk to guys on Yaesu System Fusion. And I just think it sounds a little bit better.
Well, you know what? You're right. It sounds better, a lot better. The thing is, you got to go from here to there, from there to there, for all these channels. And I don't know. I'm not interested for that at all.
Yeah, I think if I had to do it over again, I would have invested in the All-Star node and just got the All-Star and forget the Open Spot 4 Pro. I think that would be more on the... I know that's probably a lot better overall.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a lot better. You're right. Anyhow. Well, now you're sounding good now, and I would leave it the way... I don't know what you did, but you did the right thing. Move it around, and now you know what is it. But, you know... And I would not have switched it at all.
There's a KF8 F Bravo Bravo. Go ahead.
I don't hear nobody, Greg.
All right, there, David. Yeah, I'm not sure on the digital stuff, honestly. I bought this Open Spot 4 Pro, and I can cross both of the different bands. I haven't tried P25 yet. I haven't tried D-Star. I can't cross mode to All Star. That's the only one mode I can't do with the Open Spot 4 Pro. But it was difficult to finally get connected here, but I did finally get connected through the Brandmeister network through to the MI5 network. So that's the only way I can do it from a cross mode standpoint. But I don't know. It works great. I can tell you that. I bought a Hi-Star hotspot initially, and I couldn't get that thing to work at all, and I sent it back. They gave me my money back, and I ended up buying the Open Spot 4 Pro, and I had that up and running within 15 minutes. It was very, very easy to get on and log on and all that, but, you know, with $300 and some, you know, it's quite an investment. But if you want to get into digital, that's what you want to do if you want to do all the bands.
Hey, Greg, I don't know who you're talking to. I'm assuming they're on Grandmeister. And I'm assuming they can hear me. They need to be on server 3104 if they're going to talk on these talk groups. You need to be on server 3104 because we can't hear them. It doesn't populate the system from the server they're on, so you need to be on server 3104 with that talk group ID, because it sounds like you're talking to yourself, and I know you're not, there is somebody there, but it does populate out to the MI5 system. Can you hear that stuff here?
KD8FWRIM on the United States /3104 server.
Yes, you are. But I think it was it David you were talking to? He is not. Yes. We can hear you fine. We cannot hear him. We only hear your side of the conversation. He has to be on server 3104. Sorry. Just want to make that clear. Did you copy that, Greg?
Yes, I did copy that. And I did respond back to you that I am on the 3104.
Yep. Yep, I got that. Must not have made it clear when I said that. I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about the person you were talking to. I think you said his name was David. We cannot hear his side of the conversation. We can only hear yours. Because you are on 3104. He is not. He needs to be on 3104 to be on Jesus Talk Group. Because you're hearing him on Brand Meister, but we're not hearing him on the MI5 system.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, you're right. His name was David. I don't know if you're still listening, but you need to be on a 3104.
And that's why Jack couldn't hear him either. You know, we're not hearing him because we're on MI5 and Brandmeister, so he may be keyed up right now. I can't hear him, David. But Jack, you're not losing it. And Greg wasn't talking to himself. We just can't hear what he's talking to. I got to jump out. KB, I'm still here.
I'm still here. KFAD, I'm still here. Yeah, I can hear him. I can hear Greg, and I can hear you, too.
Right. But Greg was talking to somebody else on Brandmeister, and we were not hearing him, is what I said. So you had made the comment that you didn't hear who he was talking to, and that's why he wasn't hearing Dave, because he wasn't on server 3104. But I got to jump over back in a bit. Can you leave us over here?
No problem. Thank you, and take care. KFADRC.
Jack, I got my truck back today, and man, am I glad.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that you got your truck back. How is it drive? It drives smooth?
Yeah, absolutely. What do I want to say? It's my truck. You know, it's like I had those loaner trucks, and I just didn't like them, even though they were Silverados. But I'm used to the 2500 sitting up high with the diesel, and I got her back, and she's fixed. I'm happy.
How did you feel? How many shifts? You were shifting that transmission?
Well, it's a 10-speed, so it's definitely going through all 10 gears.
A few days ago, it was on TV. They said they're all going to change to 10-speed. All the cars are going to be 10-speed from now on. It's not going to be like a 3 or 4. The 5-speed is a Mercedes. And the 3-speed was a GM, I believe. Or Ford. I'm not sure exactly which one it is. But the guy came out on TV and said they're all going to be changed on year 26 to 10 speed.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some things going on between Allison and General Motors. I think Allison is no longer making the transmissions, and General Motors is actually taking it over. So I don't know. I hope they got the whatever was. I guess what failed in mine was the torque converter. So they're having problems with the torque converters and the shift modules in the transmissions.
Well, I didn't know that. The only thing I know way back, before the Chrysler, it used to be on 3-speed or 4, I'm not sure. But when they bought the Mercedes and Fiat, they took that program and they converted it to like 6-speed, like a Mercedes. And it works really good. It works really good. That's what they did when Chrysler went out.
Fiat Modem, and that's where they got all the Mercedes shift in the transmission and everything, and that worked. They did have it, and it was perfect, because I had a ram that was, you know, shifting about, I'm not sure it was about 6 times, and that's the first time. But before, you couldn't do that. It was against the law.
Yeah, WGHKLL for ID. You know, Chrysler was my account, and I handled the transmission plants. Well, for Chrysler, all their transmission plants are built in one location. That's Kokomo, Indiana. And I put in all the machines with their hydraulics down there on the 8-speed down in Kokomo. Going back about 7 years now. But, yeah, that's an 8-speed that's going in most of the vehicles on Chrysler right now, you know, passenger vehicles.
A few years ago, I drove a Ram. It was shifting 6 times, and I was surprised, wow, from a 3 to 6, which is good. And that's what we found out when they bought the Ram, by the Chrysler. What they did is they made that transmission to 6 feet. And it was good. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I've been through the whole Chrysler, Daimler, Fiat. Gosh, how many times they changed over the years. It's unbelievable. Now they're called Stellantis instead of Chrysler. It's been handed over a couple of times.
Yeah, we can look at that German. That is, Mercedes is German, and they got the technology.
Yeah, you're right. I think when Mercedes, or Daimler, I should say, Daimler merged with Chrysler, which is Mercedes. I think they did get a lot of their technologies and stuff and helped them, for sure.
Did all on Chrysler. They used it really on the Ram, because I could see the difference, because I was driving a Ram for like 6-7 years, and that's what they did, use it on that one, especially the transmission. I tell you, it was shifting really good. And you know what? It had saved gas. That's how it is.
Yeah, I actually I got called over to purchasing in Daimler in Germany, and they flew me over there for a meeting, and they wanted to get the same price that they were getting in Europe for the hydraulics as they were buying it for here. And they used the leverage of the buying power that they had over our company that they purchased in Germany to push to get the same price over here. So you've got transfer fees and different, the dollar versus the German money. It's like unbelievable, the difference, and we actually had to eat that money and give them the same price that they were paying in Europe.
Remember, the euro was a little bit more money than the dollar, but I don't know what happened now. Maybe the euro is, last time I heard, the euro dropped down a little bit. The dollar was more stronger not too long ago, maybe about six months ago or a year ago. That's what happened.
Yeah, I haven't really followed that too much, but yeah, it's crazy how they were leveraging all that, which they should, it was a global company at that point, and they wanted to save money. But once they sold, we jacked the price right back up.
Say about 3 months ago, if you put $100 in the Canadian bank right now, you'll have $400 it's $400 more right now than the U.S. dollar worth. KFA DRC.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. The euros, the dollar is 1.6 versus $1 for a euro.
That's right. You know what? Great. I thought Shana said, we'll go to Canada and eat for free and come back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I remember when you go over and get a bunch of booze over in Canada for free based on what you're paying for over here.
Yeah, I was surprised, really, that dollar jumped that much at Canadian, at the euro dropped way down. And really, it was a big surprise. And one of my brothers said, I tell you what, I'll come with you, we'll put the $3,000 in the Canadian bank. How much do you think it's going to be? I said, it's going to be at least about $7,000 to $8,000 Canadian. He said, let's go. I said, I don't have time for that. And I said, it's a headache anyhow. You go from here, you got to do this. You go there, where do you get that money from? I don't have time for that.
Yeah, we'd all be rich, you know, if it was that easy.
Yeah, but you know what? Come to think of it, if you need some money, then you got to go back to Canada and get that money and come back because you need a little bit of money. But if you have extra and you don't care, then that's a different story. But for how long? Even he said, for how long? You know, we don't know for how long. It could be a week, could be a month, could be 6 months.
Yeah, I know. Jack, were you able to get on 20 again or no?
I'll be honest with you, that 20, it was the same thing. Oh man, that noise, it was unbelievable. I tried to get out of that noise. I couldn't. Whatever I went, even the 20, it was the same noise again. I don't know how did I get, I would say 9:05, that's when I got to that guy in Europe.
Yeah, I meant to say 10, not 20, but I was on 10 this morning, like you said, for a minute there, and it was a lot of noise and no good. I was able to get one or two stations, but most of the day I was on 20, and even that was real noisy and not good today.
Yeah, even that 40 meter was the same thing. I jumped on the 40 to see anybody out there. Not too many people out there at all. They were far away, too. And that noise just still was on. So I don't know. I said, wait a minute. Let me switch antenna. I switched to the vertical. It was the same thing.
Yeah, WDAKLO for ID. I think there's a contest this weekend. I'm not for sure, but I thought I heard somebody saying there was a contest going on. Did I lose you there, Jack?
Say that again?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, Jack. You're clipping almost you're not making a repeater.
I don't know. How about now? Now any better?
Yeah, that time is perfect.
Yeah, because I moved the radio a little bit down. But now I got it even.
Remember how you used to tell those guys, put that antenna straight up in the air.
Yeah, that's right. You got to have Nagoya 771G and make sure that Nagoya antenna is got to stay on it, 462. I had a couple of them that didn't stay on it. I sent them back to Amazon.
Yeah, there's some pirates out there, that's for sure, if you don't get the right one. They're on Amazon.
Yeah, great, because these repeater, really, they are, that's what they need to be. See, I didn't know that till, Professor Don, you know, he said, those repeater, that's the way they're going to work, with the right antenna. I said, what's the right antenna? He said, Nagoya. Then I get Eric, he said, I tested Nagoya, and that is the best antenna out there. There's another one, a little bit cheaper. I don't know the name of it. I'm trying to get that
to see if the other one is available or not. I'll ask around if you want to know.
Yeah, I think I'm all set right now. I'm good with my little antenna on my Yeezu there. It's working pretty good. I finally found a aftermarket one that works good. It's the what Sean would say, an armpit tickler. He said that one day, I started laughing. I said, I got to remember that one. You know, it's the armpit tickler where you got your radio clipped to your belt and that antenna just click, you know, tickles your armpit.
That's because it's very long. KFADIC for an ID. Yeah, it does. It does really tickle you, but you know what? I used to take it anywhere I go. I used to take that deployer. Then I used to hold my radio straight up in the air. That's 100% sure. And that's what these radio, that's what these, really all of these repeaters Sean got out there, and that's what they needed.
Yep, that's for sure. I can remember when I was in GMRS, he told me that. First time I had a little kid radio, each three. And he said, go over the window, hold that antenna straight up. and go to one of the windows and find a hot spot.
Great. One day the guy said, what's a hot spot? I said, it's a hot spot. You don't know what the hot spot means? He said, no, I don't know what the hot spot means. I said, okay. I said, if you look right and left, make sure no tree around, no building. That's the hot spot.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah, it's true, though. All right, Jack, I'm going to go watch some TV here. Looks like some kind of Christmas mess. Special on. It looks like Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer.
Yeah, probably is at Christmas time. All right, Greg, we'll talk again here whenever you feel like it. No problem at all. Take care. Have a good evening. KFADRC.
All right, Jack. Yep, it's Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. Oh, what a classic. All right, buddy, we'll talk to you later. KFADRC, WDAKLO, we're clear.
K-E-N-O-A-X, statewide one.
Thank you, K-E-N-O-X, from the Michigan Street.